So tonight we find ourselves concerned with the first thing that the FWBO has to offer. We're concerned with a method of personal development. But at once a question arises, and it may already have arisen in your minds. And the question is, what do we mean by a method of personal development? And why should people need one? Why should they need a method of personal development? And in any case, what exactly is development? This isn't perhaps as clear as it seems at first sight. What is development? What do we mean by this term? What does the transitive verb to develop really mean? If we take the help of the dictionary, we find that to develop means to unfold gradually, just as a flower unfolds, stage by stage, petal by petal, from the bud. To develop means to evolve. It means to pass through a succession of states or stages, each of which is preparatory to the next. It means to expand by a process of growth. It means to change gradually from a lower to a higher state of being. This is what is meant by to develop, what is meant by development. And development, as we can very quickly see, as we can very quickly recognize, is the law of life. If we study, for instance, biology, we find that the unicellular organism develops into the multicellular organism. We find that the invertebrate develops into the vertebrate. We find, more specifically, that plant develops into fish, fish into reptile, reptile into mammal. And finally, we find that the man-like ape becomes the ape-like man. We find that Homo Pithecanthropos becomes Homo sapiens. Here, the process of development is simply biological. And what develops is simply the bodily structure, the bodily organization. It's only in the later stages of the process that we find any sign of self-consciousness, any sign of psychological, as distinct from biological, development. Now, the whole of that vast process, which I have so summarily sketched, the process of development from the amoeba up to man, makes up what we've come to call the lower evolution. It represents, we may say, if we take a sort of bird's eye view of things, it represents the distance that life has travelled so far. And it's come a very, very long way. And it's a very interesting, a fascinating story. But the process does not stop here. The story does not stop here. Does not stop with man as we at present know him. The process goes on. The story goes on, or rather we may say it can go on. Not that it must, not that it will, but it can go on. The lower evolution, as we call it, can be succeeded by what we call the higher evolution, which is the process by which man as he is at present, man as we know him, man as we are, becomes man as he can be. The process by which what we may call natural man becomes spiritual man, by which unenlightened man becomes enlightened man, or Buddha, is the process, we may say, by which man becomes that which, in a sense, in a deeply metaphysical sense, he always was. Now, the process of the higher evolution is continuous with the process of the lower evolution. But it is not simply a continuation of it. There are quite a number of important differences between the lower evolution on the one hand and the higher evolution on the other. In the first place, as I've already indicated, the higher evolution constitutes a process not of biological but of psychological development, even we may say of spiritual development. What now develops is not bodily structure, not bodily organization. What develops is, for want of a better term, mind. And by mind one does not mean simply reason. One does not mean simply the rational faculty. By mind one means the intelligence. One means the higher emotions, the more refined emotions. One means the creative imagination. One means the spiritual intuition. It's all of these which grow, which develop, the growth of which, the development of which constitutes the higher evolution. So that we may say that this development, this evolution, which is the truly human development, consists essentially in the development of consciousness. Now we use this word consciousness, which is in a way a very abstract word, but we mustn't think when we speak of the development of consciousness that we mean the development of some, as it were, abstract general consciousness. By the development of consciousness we mean the development of the individual consciousness, the development of one's own consciousness, of my consciousness, of your consciousness. Human development, therefore, we may say, is a personal development. It's my development, it's your development, it's our development, but not our in the sense of some collective body. It's not a corporate development, not a collective development, but our development in the sense of us as individuals or potential individuals together. We can no longer rely on our being carried forward by the surge of the general evolutionary process as on the crest of an enormous wave. With man, at least with man at his best, self-consciousness has emerged. Reflexive consciousness has emerged. And henceforth, we can evolve only as individuals. And this means individually wanting to evolve. And not simply wanting, but deciding to evolve and taking appropriate action. An author who used to be very famous, but who I think is not very much read these days, G. Lois Dickinson, puts the matter very clearly and very forcibly in his famous dialogue, A Modern Symposium. He says, or rather one of his characters in the dialogue says, man is in the making, but henceforth he must make himself. To that point nature has led him, out of the primeval slime. She has given him limbs, she has given him brain, she has given him the rudiment of a soul. Now it is for him to make or mar that splendid torso. let him look no more to her for aid, for it is her will to create one who has the power to create himself. If he fail, she fails. Back goes the metal to the pot, and the great process begins anew. If he succeeds alone. His fate is in his own hands. So let me repeat those last words. His fate is in his own hands. These are momentous words indeed. They make it clear that we have a tremendous responsibility. We have a responsibility for our own life, a responsibility for our own growth, a responsibility for our own happiness. And sometimes that responsibility seems very heavy indeed. Sometimes even it seems too heavy for us to bear. So when it becomes as heavy as that, too heavy for us to bear, what do we sometimes do? Or what at least are we sometimes tempted to do? We are tempted to try to hand it over to somebody else. We start feeling how nice it would be, how comfortable it would be, if only we could hand over that responsibility for ourselves to somebody else, maybe to God, or maybe to some fashionable guru figure, maybe even to some political or pseudo-political leader, in the hope that he will arrange it all for us with as little trouble to us as possible. And sometimes, of course, again, we just try, we may even do our best, to forget the whole question, the whole bothersome question of personal development. We ask ourselves, why bother? Why bother with all this talk? Why bother with all this effort? Why bother with all these methods, these practices? Why bother? Why not just sit back and enjoy life like an ordinary human being, especially when it's a fine summer day and you live in a place like Brighton and the beach is calling and your friends maybe want to take you out? You think, well, why bother? Why not just be an ordinary human being and forget all about this question of the higher evolution and personal development? But fortunately or unfortunately, luckily or unluckily, once you've reached a certain point, once self-consciousness has really started to emerge, once you've really started to think, once you've really started to feel, once you've really started to imagine, you cannot really do that. You can't just put it all aside. You can't just forget this question, this problem of development. You can't do that. I've said that development is the law of life, and this applies to the higher as well as to the lower evolution. As living beings, and we are alive, I hope, as living beings, we want to grow. We want to develop. Because what every living thing, what every living being wants to do, most of all, is to fulfill the law of its own being. And the law of our being is, as it is the law of the being of every living thing, that we should develop. So we want to fulfill that law of our own being. We want to develop. We want to actualize our potential, our deepest potential. We want to become what we are. We want to achieve in time, as it were, what we are in eternity. And if for any reason, if in any way, we're prevented from doing this, hindered from doing this, prevented from growing, prevented from developing, whether by others or whether by our own selves, then inevitably we suffer. Because we're going against the law of our own being, which is to develop, to grow, like other living things. And this is the situation, this is the sort of situation in which many of us find ourselves. We want to grow. Deep down, we do want to grow, but we find it very, very difficult. We find all sorts of factors coming in the way, external and internal. We can't very often get on with the process of our development. We're not very satisfied with what progress we've made. At the same time, we can't forget all about it and just go away. So we're caught in a sort of uncomfortable, doldrums-like state. We're unable to grow, but still we want to grow. We'd like to grow, but maybe we don't know how. And this, as I've said, is the situation of many of us. And this is the reason, presumably, even why we are here. We're not here, I take it, because we're satisfied with ourselves as we are or as we have been all these years. We're here, presumably, because we're not satisfied with ourselves as we at present are. We wouldn't like to remain indefinitely just as we are. How terrible, in fact, it would be if next year, in a year's time, we were just the same people that we are today. And in 5 years' time, the same people. 10 years' time, or when we came to die, that we were the same people simply that we've been all our lives. No change, no improvement, no growth, no development. Well, how terrible that would be. So none of us likes to think this. None of us surely likes to think that even in a year's time, or maybe even next week, if we're sufficiently idealistic, we'll be exactly where we are just at this moment, just as we are tonight. So we want to grow. We want to develop. We'd like to grow. We'd like to develop. But we don't always know how. That doesn't seem so clear. We're dissatisfied with ourselves as we are. We'd like to be something more, something greater, something nobler, something more highly developed, in a word, more highly evolved, but we don't quite know how to go about it. So what do we need? We need a method. We need a method of development. And this is the first of the things that Buddhism, that the Buddha offers, and the first of the things that the FWBO offers to those with whom it comes into contact, who come into contact with it, a method of personal development.